Last week, if you remember, we finished chapter 5. That chapter was very exciting chapter. Let's start chapter 6. Let's read few verses and we'll stop there and go as we read.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Now let's see three verses. Now here he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We cannot live in sin anymore. We have to recognize that Jesus Christ shed his blood to save us. So what he's saying, we cannot live in sin because he says, God forbid, how shall we say then, are we dead in sin, live any longer therein? If the person died for sin, or just generally, if somebody died, can he do anything? No. When you're dead, your works are finished. Amen. You cannot do anything. So the word of God is saying, if you're living in this world, live like this, that you are dead to sin. So you cannot live any longer in sin. And then he says, verse 3, know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? What does it mean? He says, you recognize Jesus died for us. When he died for us, so then when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have to die to sin. You cannot say, I love Jesus and I live in sin. If you love Jesus, Jesus died for sinners. So now you have to recognize, if I have to live, I have to live for Jesus and I have to be dead to sin. You cannot live in two boats. We cannot say I want Jesus and our sin the same time. We want Jesus. When you come to Jesus, you have to give up sin. Otherwise, you cannot live for God. So, if the people can live without Jesus' holy life, then they don't need Jesus. But the people cannot live a holy life without Jesus. And when those people come to him, they realize, I was miserable without Jesus. Amen. Now I know I can live holy with Jesus. Without Jesus, I can't. Once we have Jesus, we have victory over sin. Let's read verse 4.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness.
Now he's giving an example. Jesus Christ died for us. When you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and when you take baptism, baptism is a burial service. And that's why many people do not like to take baptism. They say, oh, I don't want to be buried. So baptism is a burial service. What happens? We believe Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we go into the water. What we're doing? We're burying the old man. Old man is Adam, is buried in water baptism. When you're coming out of the water, we're coming out of the water as the hope of resurrection. And what Jesus says, I am the resurrection, I am the life. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have the resurrection life. Now I'll give an example. You know the children of Israel, they were delivered from Egypt, delivered by the blood of the lamb. When they saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, both side and the top of the door, death angel came and saw the blood stain and he passed the house. So that's why they call Passover. So now what happened when death angel could not kill any children of Israel because of the blood? And the word of God says, when God delivered the children of Israel, each and every person was healed. Not a single person was feeble or sick among them. Everybody came completely healed and delivered and set free. Now those people are already set free. They were already saved. And now they come and the Red Sea in front of them and enemy behind them. And if you read in the Exodus, Moses said, behold the salvation of God. You see this enemy now? You will never see them again. What happened? And then they walked through the Red Sea. And if you read the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says that was symbolic to water baptism. So what does it mean? When you go through the Red Sea, the enemy of Pharaoh coming behind you to pull you out, that will be drowned in the Red Sea. The same way, when you are born again, enemy there to pull you out. But when you are born again and baptized, that enemy is put to death. That is the victory sign. People, when they are baptized, they got victory over the Adamic nature, with the Adamic sin. That's why people can live victorious life when you are born again and baptized. And some people are not baptized yet. They are struggling, and they don't want to get baptism. They do not understand the meaning. Here it says very clearly. Read that verse one more time.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
The newness of life starts after the baptism. Baptism is the testimony to the world that I am a witness to Jesus Christ. And so the baptism, we starting with the newness of life. Okay, verse 5.
For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
If you believe Jesus Christ died and buried, buried for what? Buried for me. That's why we read in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you have to believe that Jesus Christ was buried and resurrected. If somebody doesn't believe Jesus Christ was buried and resurrection, there is no eternal life. So he says, if you believe that, then we have to be dead to sin and live like Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So we have to be resurrected from the sinful life. We cannot live sinful life after we are born again. We have to say, we put that sin to death. Verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Old man, who is that old man? Adam. The old man is crucified with him. With whom? Jesus. We put that old man on the cross with Jesus Christ. That means our old nature has to be killed on the cross. Jesus died for us and we died for sin on the cross. If we do not believe that Jesus died for the sinner, then we will be keep on living in sin. We have to believe he died for me, so I don't have to live longer in sin, because I have to be crucified. I means what? Flesh. Flesh is the one commits sin, not the spirit. Flesh commits sin. So the flesh has to be crucified with Christ. So we will be no longer serving the sin. That is the important thing. People do not listen to this kind of teaching. They don't, because when you go and listen to the preachers, they are saying, well, nobody can live holy life. We are all sinners. We are not going to be perfected. We only will be perfected in heaven. Yeah. If you want to be perfected in heaven, then we don't have to live in this world. But here we say, we crucified the flesh on the cross, so we will live for Christ on this earth. Okay, let's read verse 7.
For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Simply says, if he is dead, he is free for sin. That means dead man cannot commit sin. So if you are dead in Christ, how can you commit sin? That's what I say. If you are dead, you cannot commit sin. So when say, I came to Jesus and I died for sin and I'm living for God and I'm not living for sin, that is the victorious life. Many people do not live victorious life because they are allowing their flesh to dominate their spirit. Amen. Okay, let's read verse 8.
Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him.
Okay, now he's repeating the same thing until it goes to your system. He's saying if you're dead with Christ and if you believe that it happened to you, then why should we live in sin again? So if we dead with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. That what he's trying to say, if you want to live with Jesus, you cannot live with sin. If you say, I'm with Jesus and committing sin, you are a liar. He says, go to the first John chapter 1, verse 7 to 9.
But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Here, what he's trying to say, if you live in light, if person is sinning, he is in the darkness. Once you come to the light, then you have fellowship with Jesus Christ and the fellowship with the saints of God who are living a holy life. People do not like to go to the holiness church or the full gospel church because they want to live unholy life. If they are living in darkness, they cannot walk in light. If you cannot walk in light, that means you don't want the blood to cleanse you. The blood of Jesus Christ has power to cleanse our sins. That's why even though we're taking communion, he said, Lord, forgive all our sins. So we want to be cleansed every day.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So what he's trying to say, if you want to live a holy life, first thing, live in light. Go to church, have a fellowship with the saints, live a clean and holy life, and if there is anything comes in your mind, unholy thing, or if you did something, don't keep it for next day. You ask forgiveness right away. Some people said, okay, I just started a day, and I just lied, and I'm a businessman. I want to do all the lie business until I go home, and then all this sin I will confess night time. You never know you will be able to see the night. So the word of God says you have to confess your sins right away if you want to be cleansed. But other people are thinking, oh, you don't have to confess your sins. God knows your sins. Your sins are forgiven past, present, and future automatically. It doesn't happen. And if people start teaching like that, they will sending people to hell. That's what is happening. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 9.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him.
Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. And he died once for sinners. Jesus Christ is not going to die again for sinners. So he said he died for once. Now if you read Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28.
And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Once he died, he took your sickness and disease on the cross and died. Now he is not coming to die again. He's coming back for judgment. And he says once to die after that judgment. He said Jesus died once. Now he's alive, he is not going to die again for sin. That means he lives life without sin. God put sin on him once. When he was not a sinner, God made him sin for you and for me, right? And he took our sin. Okay, let's go back. Romans 6:10.
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So he's giving an example. Jesus Christ, once he took your sin and he died for sinner, he rose again. What he's trying to say? He lives sinless life. So if you believe that same way, why don't you give up sinful life and put it in the blood and live a victorious life? If Jesus did it, you can do it. Jesus came into this world, he never committed sin. He was sinless. Still he took your and my sins on the cross once. And now he's saying he lives glorious life. We can do it also. How we do it? If he did it and we trust in his blood, we can do it also. Verse 12.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof.
Amen.
Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
So now he's saying our body, God has created for righteousness. Each and every part of our body as an instrument to God. Our hands, our feet, our mouth, our eyes, every organ. You know, people can commit sin with their eyes. They can sin with their tongue. They can sin with their hand. Each and every part of our body can commit sin. Our feet can do mischiefs. Our hand can do mischiefs. But he says, now, if you are really, really born again, child of God, and if you believe that your body is belong to Jesus Christ and he paid the price, he purchased you with his blood, now we are not our own. So we are going to say, Lord, here we are, and use this body for your glory. Because our body is for his glory. Book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, if you read.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Once you receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the book of Philippians chapter 2, he says, now we have the mind of Christ. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ became your head. And now we are the body of Christ. If we allow Jesus Christ to be head of our life, we will never do anything wrong. Because Jesus Christ should be making decision in our lives. So that's why he said, once you transform your mind, then this body is going to listen to your soul and your spirit. We should not be led by the body. We should be led by the spirit. If you're led by the body, then we are going to commit sin. So here he says, we can live victorious life when we give our body as what? A living sacrifice to God. What does it mean? Lord, here I am, and I want to use this body for your glory. Make your body as the instrument of righteousness. That means each and every part of my body, I'm going to use it for the righteousness of God. Romans 6:14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness?
Are you living for God or you're living for sin? If the sin is dominating you, that means you are not under grace. You are living for the world. World is controlling you. If I am controlled by God, then I am going to fully sold out to God. I should not be slave to sin. But I should be what? Slave to God. God is my master. He is my leader. I'm going to totally sold out to God. That's what he's trying to say. So you said obedience unto righteousness. I am not going to obey the demonic ideas, but I'm going to obey God. Okay. Verse 17.
But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Before, when we did not know Jesus, we were the slave to unrighteousness. Means unrighteousness we were doing. Drinking, mischiefs, everything what we did was unrighteous things. Why? Because we were slave to unrighteousness. But now he says, thank God, now we are saved, we are transformed. So he says, then being made free from sin, he became the servants of righteousness. Now what does it mean? He says, you were slave to sin. Now you set free for what? Not to commit sin, but to do righteousness. The righteousness to do, you should not be serving the devil. You are free to not commit sin, but free to do righteousness. Let's read verse 19.
I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness.
How many times he's repeating? He's saying, let me tell you again. When you were sinners and you gave your body to commit sin, now I'm telling you, why don't you do reverse? Now you give your body to do some good things. Do it for the Lord. Righteousness. People do not know what the holiness is because they always live in unclean life. But once I believe, when I am sold out to Jesus Christ, I do not have time to think about sin. Verse 20.
For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
When you were servants to the sin, you were free from the righteousness. That means you never thought doing anything for God. You were completely sold out to sin. And what was that sin doing to you? You never thought about it. He said that sin was killing you. They get up early in the morning, go to work, make money, enjoy their life, come home, sleep, get up again, and do these things like a circle and not knowing where they're going. What he's saying, when you're doing this kind of sinful activity, you are free from doing any religious thing, going to church, praying, reading the Bible. You had no idea what you were doing, but he said you were doing the things that those things were killing you. Read the verse 21. He says,
what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death.
Right. Those things we were doing, shameful things, not knowing how we were doing these things and not knowing where we were going, he's saying you were doing these things and you were dying in sin. But now, thank God, we are saved from that kind of things. Let's read these two verses.
But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life.
Now we are free from sin. And what? Became the servant of God. You have your fruit unto holiness and the end eternal life. So what we got? We got the fruit of righteousness. Let the whole world know that we are born again. Just think, we are born again and we are not getting out of the house. How the world will know that you ever got saved? When I come out and say to people, hello, praise the Lord, this is my name. And would you like to know, I was a sinner, I was a bad person, God saved me, and now I'm living a free life and I'm enjoying the eternal life. Would you like to know that kind of life comes from Jesus Christ? And are you struggling to live a clean and holy life? Let me tell you, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be washed by the blood of Jesus Christ and you will have a victorious life. And person says, I don't believe that. Just believe what I say and just believe what I do and you see the results in your body. And you will be surprised when people give their heart to the Lord, automatically they get the power over smoking or drinking or drugs, alcohol, and the sinful activity, and they don't like to go to bar anymore, they don't like to go bingo anymore, they don't like to go for gambling anymore, they don't like to sit with the unholy people anymore. Automatically changes, because we know that God has set us free and we do not have to go back and untangle to the sinful life anymore. And the verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is the important thing we have to tell the people. Hey, first of all, let me tell you, you are playing with a death. We are playing with a sin. And your life is enrolled in death. Let me tell you, there is an eternal life, and that eternal life is through Jesus Christ. And if you live in sin, the penalty of sin or the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Today we learn that we are free from sin. Not because of our strength and our power, but because of Jesus Christ. He shed the last drop of blood for us and redeemed us from sinful activities and the eternal hellfire. And your word says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We give you glory, honor, and praise to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.